Father, thank you again, as we just said earlier on, for how you've made yourself real to us by the Holy Spirit. And today we are coming and we're asking, Father, by the Holy Spirit, enable us to have revelation, enable us to have understanding, wisdom, enable us to be able to know the truths that are still hidden from us. And by your Holy Spirit, open it up to us. Lead us into this truth, Holy Spirit, that we are able to participate, we are able to experience the life of truth, we are able to just walk in it and become more and more who, Father, you created us to be through your Son, Jesus. That we become more and more who we really are as a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we want to thank you for insights. We want to thank you for just the truth that is necessary for each and every one of us. And we receive that this morning. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to start off here in John chapter 14. We're going to be spending a little bit of time in Ephesians chapter 1 and just looking at a prayer that Paul prays about opening the eyes of our hearts in order for us to be able to comprehend, understand, to be able to know this incredible inheritance of God that's in us. And we're wanting the Holy Spirit to open up what is really in us, the God's inheritance in us, the inheritance that God has given to us that is in us by the Holy Spirit. And so we've been speaking a lot about the kingdom of God within. And that's, what is that reality? What's the inheritance of that? And how to live in that? So we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us because he wants us to be able to live in this truth. And so here in John chapter 14, Jesus is sharing about the Holy Spirit. And let me just read here from verse 22, or let me just go before that. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another one just like me, to be with you forever. And notice the word forever, because that's very important. And this other one, just like me, the counselor, the Spirit of truth. So you know that the Holy Spirit can only speak truth. He'll never deceive you. He'll never misguide you. He won't fool around with you. He is truth, absolute truth. And that's the Spirit of God. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, this is you and I now who or children of God who have been born again, but you know him. That's such an incredible truth that we know the Holy Spirit. And we know him for he lives with us. So the Holy Spirit is with us and the Holy Spirit is in us. And that's how we know the Holy Spirit. That's how we know what truth is all about. That's how we know the reality of the counselor, the helper, the one who's come alongside of us to help us in life. We know him. Okay, because God has placed him within us. But you know him for he lives and with you be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Also a very incredible truth concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are now fully accepted as children of God. We know we're not orphans. We belong to him. We are genuine children of God, fathered by our Heavenly Father. And he says, yeah, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not leave you. And that's important because we see here that Jesus says that I'll not leave you as orphans, but I'm coming to you. The Father is coming to you by the Spirit. You're not an orphan. Although I'm leaving, we're coming to make our dwelling within you. Very big concept, very big truth this. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Isn't that profound truth, eh? Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we live. I think we need such an insight, such a revelation of what lies ahead of us. I don't know about you, but a time comes when you really, you're looking forward to leaving this earthly body and having your new spiritual body, entering into a realm that we only have a deposit of by the Holy Spirit. On that day you will realize that I'm my Father and you are in me and I am in you. This is because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. There's a realization that Jesus is in the Father and we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You've made this real. And there are many, many people that don't know this reality of how real you are, Father. And today, as a family, we ask, let this become a reality in this nation. And then he carries on and he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And this is one of the most incredible truths about revelation, how the Holy Spirit reveals more of Jesus, is because of this incredible love for the Father, this incredible love for Jesus, listening and just out of love to listen to his teachings, to accept his teachings, to walk in his teachings. And the more we do that, the more the Holy Spirit just wants to show us the reality of who Jesus is and takes us deeper and deeper. The parable of the sower teaches us this, that the message, the word is a message of the kingdom of God. And the one that's got a heart that is not resisting the teaching of Jesus, that is not, because that's a hardened heart, that's a resistant heart, that's a stubborn heart that will not accept the teaching of the kingdom of God. They never experience this, but the heart that's not resisting, the heart that receives, Jesus says, more will be given. It's the same thing. And that is why for us to make sure all the time that we're receiving, we yield it to the Holy Spirit, we're soft to the Holy Spirit. We hear what he's saying and we, because of our love for God and our desire to live in the light, to stay in fellowship with God in the light, we will obey him and give control over to him. And so he says over there, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you tend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And that's important. We'll come back to this. Why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him and we will come and make our home with him. Notice what Jesus says here. He does not say that the Father now going to come and make you into a holiday flat, where we're just going to come occasion for a vacation in your life. He did not say, I'm going to make you into a hotel where we're just going to come now and again as we travel through life. We're going to come and just have a week with you. No, he says, come to make a home, permanent dwelling place. We've come here to settle within you as believers. We've come to make our home, our dwelling. You see, you're no longer an orphan. You're not on vacation. We've come, Father and Son, by the Holy Spirit, we've come to make our permanent dwelling here with you forever. Forever. Listen to those words, forever. I don't know what forever means to you, but forever means a lot to me. You know, it's not only this present age, but it's in the ages to come. Forever. Pretty awesome. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. But all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. And then Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That's profound. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me saying, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And maybe those words, come now, let us leave, is very relevant to you and I. Come now, let us leave where we are now and let the Holy Spirit take us deeper to where he wants to take us. Just reading this quickly now, just reminded, I was just sharing with Amanda, I was listening to the testimony of the founder of the Satanic Church in South Africa. And 2 years ago, he got born again. And part of the process of him being born again, all the Satanists throughout the world had to, on a specific time, specific day, they had to do a sacrifice and an offering, etc., in order to discover whether the Antichrist has been born yet, and if he's been born, where is the Antichrist? And so that was the mandate from all the satanic places in around the world. So that particular night, he's alone in the temple. This is the Satanic Church, and he's busy with the rituals. And so he's got the candles. You know how they do it on the candles there, littering it there. And now he's busy now because now he's starting with the process. And all of a sudden, in this inner temple area, it just goes bright, bright light just floods this place. And here he's now thinking, you know, is someone playing a game on me? Is this a demon? Yeah, what's happening? And he's a bit bewildered. But he looks up eventually and he sees this figure walking towards him, this bright, bright, glorious figure walking towards him and getting closer and closer. And then he sees, but this is a man. And so he asked, who are you? And this figure says, I am Jesus Christ, I'm the Messiah. And so this Satanist now, he founded the Satanic Church in South Africa, been involved. There's no hope for him, you know. No one would share the gospel to him. There's no way he's going to ever get born again kind of stuff. And so now he says, but if you Jesus, prove it to me. Because now he wasn't sure if this is a demon manifesting, because they interact with demons all the time, but this one is light. Anyway, so this guy says, prove it to me. And then Jesus says, let me come and hug you. And the Satanist says, yes. And then Jesus came and hugged the Satanist on top of the Pentagon. On top of the, you name it, Satan's got no hold over Jesus, as we see over here. And so, Jesus hugs this Satanist. And Jesus poured his love into this man's heart. And this man was undone. Because for the first time in his life, he experienced a love that he cannot explain. A love that is God's love flooded him. And there he knew and he got born again. And today took 2 years, but it took 9 months for deliverance, but it took 2 years with all the legal stuff to be able to deregister the church, the satanic church in South Africa, because it was a legal institution and that. But here you see the reality of Jesus. When Jesus says over here that the prince of this world is coming, he has no hold on me. And you see Jesus just stepping into this satanic church. Do you believe, do I believe that Jesus is able to deliver a nation? Hey. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. And he's wanting us, the Holy Spirit is wanting us to renew our mind, to know Jesus, to know the kingdom, the King dwelling within us, to be able to operate and to live as he lives and rules through us in his authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. To understand how to live in this truth. And God gave us the Holy Spirit for you and I to be able to live in the fullness of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in his death and resurrection and his ascension. So here we see some amazing truths where Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit is coming, and because of the Holy Spirit coming in us, the Father and the Son have come to make their dwelling within us, their home, their permanent residence. We're not alone. But that's the inheritance that God has given to us. And this is the prayer that Paul is praying, that we will begin to grasp this, we will begin to know this great inheritance of his that's in us, the holy ones, born again, set apart, taken out of darkness, in the kingdom of light. And Jesus is giving the introduction to this. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read quite a lot of scripture this morning, and it's necessary because his word is alive, his word is so dynamic, it's truth, it's spirit, and our spirit needs to hear, our soul needs to hear, and our bodies need to hear this living word of God. Now Paul is writing to the body of Christ, and in order to understand the prayer, we need to read the first 14 verses, because the prayer is based on what he's just written to them in the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, okay, to the holy ones in Ephesus, those that have been set apart, taken out of the dominion of darkness. We are now in a kingdom of light. We live in light. We have fellowship in the light. God is light speaking to us. That's why we by the blood of Christ, we have been made holy, and we are in the process of experiencing it and living out the reality of what holiness is all about. Fellowship, intimacy. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Just stop for a moment. Jesus has just said, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you, the Father and I will come and make our dwelling within you, within you, within you. And here Paul is saying, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is that coming from? Where does the grace of God come from? If by the Spirit God has made his dwelling within us. See, this is the inheritance of God that is placed within us. By the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, grace, peace from our spirit into our being. We've got it. We've got the fullness of it within us already. And holy, and the prayer is, Father, open our eyes, enable us to grasp this inheritance that you've given to us, that we can live in the fullness of this inheritance. Important what God wants to open up and help us to move and to live in the truths that we read about, but it's not yet, it hasn't yet been established within us as it ought to be. And so grace and peace to you from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come and made their dwelling within us, they are the Holy Spirit. Where are we looking for grace and peace? That's the question. Are we looking, or we realize, but it's already in us, because the Holy Spirit is in us. And thank you. I receive your grace today. Thank you. See, it's just a different way of appropriating a truth that we have already and beginning to live when Jesus said it is finished on the cross. When, for, you see, I can only speak from what God shared with me about the death and resurrection, the cross of Christ being the answer for this nation. So I know that everything has been done in Christ's death and resurrection. Everything that is ever needed for a nation to be set free is already done. And how we walk in it. And so we're learning what God has already done. And He's already put the Spirit of God within us. This Holy Spirit is already taking what Jesus has already done. And we are now learning how to participate with Him in the authority and the finished work of Jesus. And now to be able to allow grace to reign through righteousness as a kingdom and priests. So these things have already been done. And so Paul then carries on and he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, it's past tense, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So here we're starting to see something about an inheritance. God's inheritance that He has given to you and I in Christ. And notice how... And so here we have, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So here's something about the inheritance. For He chose us in Him before the creation in the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Something about this inheritance in us. Okay, another aspect. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace. Something about what's within us, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Again, it's all in Christ Jesus and the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. That which is hidden, God has made it known, and it was His good pleasure to make it known to us, which He purposed in Christ Jesus to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head in Christ. In Him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. This was first for the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Remember how Jesus had said it will happen. And that what took place. And you also, now speaking to the Gentiles, and now you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. So just that, there's so much truth that Paul is writing about. And then he says over here, for this reason. So what has just been written? He says, now for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order to know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So here we notice something profound where Paul is speaking about spiritual realities, that we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, that we may know this hope, that we may know this inheritance, that we may know what our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's speaking, and we've been speaking about the kingdom of God, and in John chapter 18, we read over there in verse 36, where, remember, Jesus is before Pilate, and Jesus says that my kingdom is not of this world, because it's a spiritual reality. We also notice when Jesus speaks about looking for the kingdom of God, but my kingdom, you will not be able to observe like that. The kingdom is within those who believe. But we also notice when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says over there that you are not able to see the kingdom unless you are born of the Holy Spirit. You are not able to enter the kingdom unless you are born by the Holy Spirit. So we notice over there that when we're speaking about all these incredible spiritual truths that Paul is writing about here, the reality of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, this is all spiritual stuff. We notice about us being adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. We notice about the purpose of God that works all things according to his incredible plan. We notice his grace. All of these things that we have read over here, this inheritance that we've only now got a deposit of by the Holy Spirit, and that's our future. You notice all of these things are very much in the spiritual realm. They're within us. And Paul is praying, Father, help us to understand this so that we can live in it. And so this is a prayer that I believe is a crucial prayer. Coming back here, but let me just read another portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. In chapter 3, Paul is writing about this most incredible new covenant. And he's speaking about you and I are ministers of this new covenant because of the Holy Spirit within us. So as we communicate, as we minister, as we love, as we go about, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in the lives of people. And it's far more glorious because this gives eternal life. It's not just a temporary kind of feeling better kind of life. This gives eternal life. And so he's speaking about this most incredible privilege that you and I as believers today have compared to the old covenant believers. And then he says in chapter 4, and he continues, and let me read over here from verse 7, because he's speaking about now we are now children of light. And here in verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So here's the most incredible truth. We have this inheritance of God within this body. And this body is dying. This is flesh. But in this decaying realm of this earthly body, what's taking place, and all the persecution, all the pressures of life, everything, what's taking place? Within us as believers, we've got this incredible treasure, this inheritance that God has placed within us. So despite our humanity, we've got something within us as believers that show the world that this is the power of God that's at work. It's revealing. So the disciples say, but show us the Father, show us the Father. And Jesus says, don't you know? Just have the evidence of the works that I'm busy doing. It's the Father living in me. And now the world can begin to see within our own lives, show us the Father, show us Jesus. Is it real? And the evidence is, despite us getting wrinkles and old, etc., this incredible, all-glorious resurrection power of God is within us. And Jesus and the Father are doing their work through us as we yield to the Holy Spirit. Show us. But very often I believe that we are more concerned about taking care of sort of the natural life. And our priorities on the natural life, not realizing that this is going to fade away and we're going to step into another incredible heavenly tent, as Paul writes in chapter 5. But in the meantime, this incredible inheritance of God, the kingdom of God within us, you and I have been called to be able to walk with the Spirit so that it's made known. Parable of the sower, the one that's got a divided heart. Oh yes, God, but no, let's focus and enjoy the pleasures of the world more and more. There's never a fruit. Gets strangled. And that is why God is showing us what holiness is all about. We've been totally taken out of this world. We don't belong to this world anymore. We now belong in the kingdom of God. Therefore, let us live as children of light. That's our heart, that's our mind, that's our priorities. Not having a divided heart, but having a heart after God. We're only here for a short period of time. And we are... priorities now lie. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He is such an incredible reality to you and I. So we know that we've got this treasure in this, as Paul writes it over here, this treasure in jars of clay. How pretty is your clay? What's inside the clay? See, that's what's counting now. What's inside? That must be our priority, to discover what's inside. Because as we're discovering what's inside, we're able to apply that discovery into our bodies. And that's where we're going to start really learning how to walk in health, how to walk, how to live in this life. But first discovering what is inside of us, how we can live and draw that out. So we see that there, I believe, you know, Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe, this is my own personal belief anyway, but I believe that here we have what Paul is writing of here in this jars of clay, there's this treasure in. And I believe the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus is with Elijah and Moses and this incredible, glorious transformation takes place. And I believe there that Jesus was showing what's in his earthly body. What's in the jar of clay. He's showing us our true reality. What's really inside of us. And I believe there was a revelation of who we really are as children of God in Christ Jesus. Because remember what the word transformation is. Transfiguration, transformation, same word. It's the revelation of our true inner reality. And there what Jesus showing John, Peter and John, this is who I really am. See, you've only seen me in the flesh, but now I'm showing you who I really am as the Son of God. And this is what Paul is praying, that our eyes will be opened to begin to understand who we really are as children of God. Who we really are with having Christ dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, who we really are. Look beyond just the flesh and to discover this is who we really are. How do we live who we really are as children of God? How do we face life? How do we deal with life? How do we relate with people? How do we make decisions from the position and who we really are in Christ Jesus? How do we live from our spirit man in our day-to-day lives? So I'm very grateful for Jesus showing us at the Transfiguration, Mount of Transfiguration, encounter who we really are as children of God. So here in, back in Ephesians quickly, when Paul is praying and he says over here in verse 15, let's go to verse 16, 17, and he's busy praying and asking the Father, and he says, the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I think we all understand revelation. Revelation is that which is hidden is now uncovered. Wisdom, the real root word for wisdom is clarity. That's quite interesting. The clarity of truth. No confusion. When there's confusion, there's no wisdom. So here Paul is praying, Father, may you help the family of God to have clarity. The clarity of what's within us, so we know what's in us. We have an understanding how to appropriate what's really within us. That's why in Colossians 1 verse 9, where Paul praying there, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding. So here we have this incredible truth for you and I to begin to get clarity of this inheritance that God has given to us. And so he continues and he prays over there. And this is by the Holy Spirit. This is why a relationship with the Holy Spirit is so necessary. He gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Okay? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. So he has a second part of the prayer. Wisdom and revelation. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That's another part of the prayer. Another part of the prayer, that you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's another part of the prayer. And to know his incomparable great power for us who believe. That's the other part of the prayer. And then he starts to explain what this power is like that's within us, that's inside this jar of clay, our bodies, and the purpose of all of that. So we notice over here, first of all, that as Paul is praying, he prays that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now when he's praying this, notice over there, he's praying that the eyes of our hearts. Why doesn't he say, open the eyes of your spirit? Why does he pray, open the eyes of our hearts? What do we already have in our spirit? We already have the Holy Spirit dwelling within our spirit. Our spirit knows this truth. Our spirit knows. The spirit communicates with our spirit saying, Abba, Father. Our spirit, the Spirit of God who knows the deep things of the Father's mind, communicates with our spirit, speaks to us. Our spirit knows this reality. Our spirit lives in the reality of this eternal life. Our spirit has received, as we see the Holy Spirit, so our spirit knows something about what this incredible inheritance is all about and what our future is all about. That's why in Romans 8, we groan. Why are we groaning? Because our spirit knows what's the future. So by our spirit, we're groaning because we know, wow, this is what we got here. It's just temporary. This is what we got here. It's really, wow, it's just clay. What's waiting for us is far greater. So our spirit knows that. And that's why our spirit groans all the time, longing for the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8. So we have something profound over here where Paul is praying. Our spirit knows that, but our soul doesn't know it. Our heart, the inner man, who we really are, we don't know it. Our minds, our intellect, we don't know it. So he's praying that God will open up and enable the eyes of our heart to be able to see what's in our spirit man. To be able to understand, to be able to have clarity what's really in our spirit man. And to be able to receive that by faith and to begin to now apply that in our day-to-day lives. This is why he's praying this most powerful prayer. Again there in chapter 3, we see over here, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Okay, that's again the reality in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ dwells in our spirit by the Holy Spirit, but now for us to realize and allow him to really occupy the fullness of who we are as people, in our emotions, our thoughts, we have the mind of Christ, all of this, so that we can start to live from our spirit out. And this is what he's praying. This is why I think today is an important day for us to take hold of this prayer. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. This, in the context of this, this is not, we are not God's inheritance, although that is true as well. There's many other scriptures that say we are God's inheritance. But this, in this context, it's right through Ephesians. You'll see there that this is what God, his inheritance that he's given to you and I. That's what it's speaking about. And God wants us to discover what this inheritance is. When we get to know more and more of this inheritance, man, we have such a hope. Amazing hope that we have. And that's a prayer. And I would like us to pray this morning, not only for ourselves, but for the body of Christ. Just one last scripture here in 2 Corinthians 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For a while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, amazing, eh? And has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. All of us have got something that we are learning. All all of us are at a place where we are recognizing, we are accepting God has placed His Spirit within us. All of us are facing challenges in life, whatever that may be, and all of us are at a place where we can have a wonderful opportunity to come and ask, this is what I'm facing, what's inside of me? What have you given to me, Father? What's this as inheritance? Won't you show me what you have deposited, what you have given me, what's by the Spirit, what is the fullness of your kingdom within me? Won't you show me and help me to be able to see that so that I can receive it by faith, because I'll be fully persuaded. Unless one's born again by the Holy Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom. I've been born again by the Holy Spirit, therefore I'm able to see the kingdom of God within me, my spirit. I want to start to take hold of that. I want to start to learn how to live in what I see in the kingdom that's within me, in your kingdom, and I want to apply that. And this is an application part of it, is to acknowledge, to realize what's inside of us, ask the Father to open our eyes to be able to see more and more what's really His inheritance in us, and to then start to apply that truth, get it established within us. And sometimes it may be a little while before we start to see the effects of this. But this is where forcewomen and women take hold of the kingdom. We don't quit. We keep on, and we start to see the breakthrough. This is where the kingdom message, remember the parable of the sower, it's such an important truth, because as the Holy Spirit opens the truth about the kingdom within us, it's a message of the kingdom. The Holy Spirit reveals a truth about the kingdom of God, about our King Jesus Christ and the way He does things, etc. He reveals that, what He has done. That message of the kingdom, if there's no understanding, it gets removed. So we pray, Lord, give us understanding of the message. Give us wisdom. Give us revelation. So that we don't want this to be stolen from us. And he carries on and he says, now for some, they receive, but because of the shallow ground, that message that the Spirit of God is speaking, the Spirit of truth is making known to you and I of what's really within us, if because there's not much depth in Jesus Christ, we're still too very much worldly, what takes place, it's wonderful and exciting, the romance of a truth is so beautiful, but the moment we just leave here, because we've got divided hearts, etc., it quickly gets taken away, basically. And we never get established in the truth. So we've got to realize that as the Spirit of God shares with us, this is part of the journey. We've got to face, if I'm finding there that I've suddenly just forgotten all about that, then you know, that's a telltale sign. I'm not established in Jesus yet. I haven't learned to take my thoughts captive yet. I haven't learned to be rooted in Him. I haven't learned in the trials and the tribulations of life to just know that He hasn't changed and He's still God, and I worship Him knowing that He's working at something good despite all of that. Be established in Him. The other one, as we hear, the Spirit of God reveals and opens our eyes and we see truth that we have within us, what takes place? Now we've got, again, a divided heart, and we more the pressures of life and wanting to get rich and all these kind of things chokes that seed, and it never begins to bear fruit. So we must realize this is you and I face this. As we go through, how many times you hear you're in a meeting and God is moving and you're blessed, etc. You get in the car, and by the time you get to your house, you and your wife and your children are having a big fight in the car to try and steal what you received. It's a reality that we face. So understand, as the Spirit of God brings about the answer to our prayer, open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see the kingdom within us, and we can enter into it in a very practical way in the kingdom of God within us, and we can start participating with the kingdom of God within us, we're able to now receive everything that we need for our godly lives, to be able to live in this world. How does it work? And this is why we need that which is hidden to be made known to us. That is why we need clarity, the wisdom of God, the clarity of God, to help us get clarity of this so that we can apply it into our lives. Okay. So, praise God for the Holy Spirit. He's with us. He helps us. I won't share this, but I have what I will call shower theology. While I'm having a shower, God shares a lot of stuff. But what he shared this morning was just too much. I still have to try and spend some time, get it rooted in truth, more and more truth. But we have no idea who we really are. What he showed this morning, and it was a bit scary for me, because there's a lot of stuff that, again, I realize the Holy Spirit is going to help me to unlearn the limitations that one is not aware that we have placed upon ourselves. Take hold of the Holy Spirit, please. Walk with Him. Guide us into all truth. Just that word, all, it's big. Jesus, the name above every other name, all the power, all authority. Let's not stop. Yeah. As he says, come with me. Let's go with him and enter into something profound, because he loves the people of this nation and we his body, and he has chosen to rule. He is the king. He's chosen to make his kingdom known through our lives. What a purposeful life you and I have. So Father, thank you that you sent your son Jesus. Thank you this morning for Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit, because you are within us, the Father and Son, in the most miraculous way that we cannot comprehend, but we have to say that we know this to be true because we experience it. We live in the reality of knowing you, our Father. Not a distant Father, but a Father within. Knowing you, Jesus, within. Knowing you, Holy Spirit. So despite us not understanding how this all works, we have the privilege of living in this truth. So we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for making this real to us. And we want to just pray together, hear this prayer. And we are asking not only for our lives, but first of all for the body of Christ in the nation and the nations. Won't you, Father, open the eyes of our hearts, that we may know the hope, that we may go beyond the political agenda of a nation. That we will not put our hope in politicians. We will not put our hope in all these worldly temporal things. But we will know the hope that's in you. Father, that we can live from a higher level of hope. As believers, we can move and shape and be part of bringing a nation into a destiny that's got the hope that you have for this nation. But we realize as believers, our eyes of our hearts need to be opened so that we can have a glimpse, we can begin to see by the Spirit into the reality of your kingdom, which is spiritual truths, spiritual reality. So that as we see the future of our nation, we see the future of one another, we see our futures, Lord Jesus, we will not look at one another from a worldly point of view any longer. But no, we used to. But now we look differently. Because we can see by the spirit of eyes, we can begin to see the reality of your kingdom within each and every one of us who believe. And so we ask for the wisdom, the clarity, Father, for us believers in a nation, to have clarity of your ways, the clarity of the kingdom, the clarity of your purpose, the clarity of how to live as children of God in a nation at this time. And we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for your zeal. We want to thank you for your power. We want to thank you for your incredible ability to awaken us as a body of Christ, to uncover these things and make it known to us, and to impart into us this dynamic, powerful resurrection life that already exists within us as believers, but for us to comprehend and to realize, wow, this is what we have. Lord, what a difference. And our speech, Lord, we will speak what we believe as we see the reality of your kingdom within us. We will speak differently. And we want to thank you, Lord, as you teach us this, guide us into this, because Jesus, you know this world, you know this kingdom realm. It's your realm, and we're still on this earth bound a bit over here. But you said, you asked the Father, set them apart by your truth. And that's why we want to thank you for Holy Spirit of truth that you have sent, Lord, so that as we follow him, we experience the freedom and the joy of being set apart from this world. We experience the freedom and joy of not living conformed to the pattern of this world, but we live in the reality of being transformed into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. What a privilege we are experiencing today by you, Holy Spirit. So I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as you dwell within us. I want to thank you for your life within us. And now I'm asking in a supernatural way for the eyes of our hearts to be opened. And today will be a change day. Today will be a day of truth that will unlock many, many more truths. And we'll start to walk from into truth after truth after truth into another realm and just continue as you just unlock this day after day all the time. And we thank you for helping us to get established in what you are sharing. And we honor you for that. Thank you for being our helper. Thank you for giving us the strength. Thank you for grace that's within us because of the gift of righteousness. Lord, when there's so many truths that just explode as we're beginning to understand how grace reigns through righteousness. And now we're beginning to realize that the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but of righteousness. And we're beginning to understand, because the kingdom of God within us, this righteousness of God is within us. Grace flows, enables us to reign, enables us to have victory, enables us to be able to live in the fullness of what you have put into us. Wow, God, we are privileged. Jesus, truth and grace came through you. And I'm asking by your Spirit, explode, let this truth explode in us. Lord, all the truths that we've heard, bring it together so that we can start having clarity as truths start coming together and we can say, wow, God, thank you. And this, we want to thank you, Lord, because of your death. You, through your death on the cross, in the body that you took upon yourself, all our sicknesses, our disease. On your body, when you took upon your body our sins as our substitute. On you, you took upon the wrath of God. You did it for us. And your blood that made the atonement, your blood that paid the price, your blood that cleansed us from all sin and impurities, your total blood, it is the only blood, the pure blood that is able to cleanse us from all sin. And this we receive as we drink together, celebrating what you have done, so that we can live this new life. And we thank you, Father, for what you have done through Jesus. Amen. Amen. It was interesting, this ex-Satanist was sharing, because every ritual blood had to be shed. So that's why there's a lot of the animal sacrifices and that, and particularly you will find over there the sex, human trafficking, all that is part of getting blood and so forth. Suddenly no one knows where anybody is. You take abortions. That's the purest blood that they can get. And so that's why they really want, abortion is such a big thing, in a nation, because that's demonically inspired in government making these decisions, because that the enemy wants. And they were saying there that blood in the spiritual realm is like currency. So you need blood in order to get promoted in the demonic realm. All the time there has to be the shedding of the blood, because it's a counterfeit to the blood of Jesus. And when he realized the powerful blood of Jesus, and realized that this blood of Jesus, what it did for him, he couldn't believe it. It changed his whole life, and this was part of his journey. And it was fascinating. He realized there that the Satanists that were school teachers, they could now astral travel and they could project thoughts into the students. And there were certain students that would be vulnerable and would receive these thoughts and able to now, and they could start controlling these students. But there were other students that could not. It was like a barrier to it. They could not. And they discovered that the students that they could not penetrate, their parents were praying for their children. Their parents were standing, "Lord, thank you for your blood over my children." And they were totally protected from the demonic realm. The power of the blood of Jesus. See, that's why, what do we have? Oh, what do we have? Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. What do we have? May the eyes of our hearts be opened, that we can know this incredible inheritance that we have in us from our Heavenly Father. We are privileged, but we don't know what we have. And because we don't know, unbelief is strong. Because we don't know, we get messed up in life. Because we don't know. That saying, we don't know what we don't know, it's very, very real. But here's a prayer we prayed this morning for our Heavenly Father to reveal to us what we don't know. That we may know truth. And so please embrace the Holy Spirit of truth more and more, and walk with Him. Communicate with Him. Oh, thanking Him for going to Jesus, Lord. You know the joy of waking up and just the thought of, Father, today you are involved. Today you are up to something. Today you are busy. Today you are busy. And I'm asking today that in this most incredible way, that together with your Son Jesus, powered by the Holy Spirit, we're able to do what you're wanting to do today through us. Seeking first the kingdom. What a joy. What a purposeful life that is, eh? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Come guys, let's move forward now. Okay.